The Wicked Witch of the West from Wizard of Oz, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
This is Go Watch a Movie, a movie discussion podcast. We discuss movies to their fullest. But before we get into the two movies we saw, which were Logan and Get Out, we're going to get into some entertainment news last week. I wanted to start things by saying I'm excited because I saw they are releasing a Nightwing movie.
Really?
Yes. Nightwing, I'm sure he'll be with Ben Affleck's Batman if Affleck stays, because he seems to be having a little issues with the Batman movie. But yeah, Nightwing, I don't think anyone's been cast yet, but it's an interesting story. You know, he's the original Robin and he gets a little bit too big for Batman and becomes Nightwing. So that's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so moving on, Disney is being a little controversial, which, you know, doesn't normally mix, but Beauty and the Beast will show a first for Disney, a homosexual character, openly homosexual.
Really?
Yes, this is the live action one. So that'll be interesting. Like, I think BBC does it a lot, so I think it's great that a huge company like that is finally catching on in America, you know?
It's overdue, though, especially for somebody as big as Disney.
I mean, exactly.
It should have been done a long time ago.
And don't they have, like, Gay Day, like, every year or something like that?
I have no idea. Never heard of that one. But
I think at the parks. I'll do some research on that. Might edit it out.
No, yeah, I think I did hear something about they lighted the streets up or something.
Yeah. And exciting news for those Tron lovers out there. A reboot has been announced, and Jared Leto
Was this a rumor?
It's still a rumor right now, but it's a widespread rumor.
I did see that today.
So I like Tron, and I even liked Tron Legacy, which a lot of people I don't think did, but...
made it.
Yeah. Wasn't horrible. So that's exciting. And this is also exciting. New Line Cinemas is developing a Wizard of Oz horror movie. Which is why I opened with that, Wicked Witch of the West. So, yeah, I think it could be done, because those flying monkeys. You know, yeah.
Did you see the movie that came after?
Those damn Willers. is it The Return of Oz?
Yeah. Wasn't that the horror one you just talked about?
Yeah, last week. Yeah. Oh, so.
I like that movie myself.
They're just freaky because they come skating up.
Right?
Yeah. But yeah, that's exciting. It'll be cool to see, you know, what they do with this technology.
New take would be nice.
And last but not least, I have to pay my respects to Bill Paxton. Passed away last week, I believe, at the age of 66, complications of surgery. Game over, man, game over. And that's not making light. That's just, you know, what happened. And a legendary line by him, one of many, because he's been in so many movies. But, yeah. So that will bring us to our first movie, first feature. We're like the drive-ins. Like, the, you know, the double features they used to have.
Right,
we normally would do a single opening weekend movie and then something old, nostalgic. But this week, we got two big blockbusters. we're starting with Logan. So, 17 years, he's been Wolverine.
That's crazy.
That's insane and cool at the same time. Let's touch a little bit before we get to Logan on the first two solo Wolverine films.
Okay.
The first one, in my opinion, was just bad.
Was it because of Deadpool or?
It seemed unfinished because, I mean, maybe it was just the times, but like the CG was horrible. The storyline, I guess, it was setting up Wolverine. But then, yes, you mentioned Deadpool. That had a huge...
That one stands out in my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time before CG, so I don't hate all movies for having bad CG. But, like, yeah, Deadpool, I don't know what they were doing.
Like, and it's like, it's not even his movie, and you're going to ruin him that bad? Anyway. Wolverine. So, Wolverine, I forget the second one. First one, Wolverine Origins. Is it The Wolverine? Was that the second one?
Yeah, Wolverine, I believe.
Wolverine. I thought that one was a little bit better.
It was good. It was weird. I mean, like, I didn't know that. I had never heard that story before.
The Silver Samurai?
Yeah, so yeah. That was cool. I mean, I didn't know if it was just, like, something they made up for the movies or if that was actually in the comics, but I did enjoy the story, though it was set in, like, this Asian theme thing.
He did at some point go to Japan and get training, and he met Lady Deathstrike there and all that stuff, which was cool. But yeah, they stepped in the right direction. And then now, here we are, 2017. We get the Wolverine we deserve on his way out. Now, Wolverine has, for pretty much all the X-Men movies, has been the lead. Like,
pretty much.
They've all been about, even... other than First Class, he kind of had a cameo. Days of the Future Past, they just kind of threw him back in that lead role again, you know?
He's been all, man. Yeah. Was he in Apocalypse? Was there a cameo in Apocalypse?
Yeah, the whole breaking out of the Weapon X. Yep. In First Class, he just did they asked him, hey, we want to, and he's like, go F yourself, before they even, you know, got it out. But yeah, he's been the pinnacle role in basically all the X-Men movies. And now we see him on his way out. And now we're getting into spoiler territory, ladies and gentlemen. But we are a movie discussion podcast. We discuss movies to their fullest because it's a fun conversation. So to start things, the Deadpool teaser trailer beforehand. What'd you think?
Pretty funny. I wasn't expecting it because they don't really introduce it as a trailer so much. Yeah. It's just kind
of
like...
It's like almost the start of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was a nice surprise.
Mm-hmm. And Stan Lee making one of his cameos because he said he wanted to be in the last one and he was furious they didn't ask him. Ryan Reynolds coming back in a big way. I like all the jabs at Logan and the Logan trailers or posters all over the place. Mm-hmm. That was a nice little fun fact. And then he leaked it online. So he knows how to promote his movies that he wants to promote. And then we get into Logan. I thoroughly enjoyed this film.
It was a great movie.
Yeah, I thought they hit all the notes they should have hit. I loved his acting as Wolverine has always been stellar. Like, he's never been the issue with the movies.
That's not the way he sounds in real life either. He's definitely acting.
Yeah, if you can switch. And that's what I've always loved about the European actors. Like, they just throw on an American accent. Like, Australian. Yeah, sorry about that. Throw on the American accent like it's no problem, you know.
It's weird as Americans, we don't really think we have an accent.
Yeah.
We think we sound like we're supposed to sound, but everybody else has got the accent. But I guess it's different for everybody else. They think they are like, they're normal, but we have the accent.
We're the ones to them that, are slack-jawed and hillbillies. Mm-hmm. Right. he the shape that this guy's in for the age he is.
Mm-hmm. He's still ripped.
Good Lord. What'd you think of the kid? Actually, what'd you think of the movie overall?
Overall, I loved the movie. I thought it was really good. I think it was a really good send-off for him to depart the series. The girl, at first, I didn't really get a whole lot out of her, but as the movie went on, she slowly developed for me, and I started to really like her, especially towards the end when she actually started talking.
Yes.
I was like, thank you. I was like, wow.
And I think, like, even the fact that she did 80% of this movie without speaking, yet she still developed a character. I thought it was just fantastic. X-23, we're talking about. Watchbot. He's supposed to introduce this movie, but we start talking about the other ones.
Whoops.
Watchbot, if you'd like to introduce Logan for us.
Logan is a 2017 American superhero film featuring the Marvel Comics character Wolverine, played by Hugh Jackman. The film, distributed by 20th Century Fox, is the 10th installment in the X-Men film series, as well as the third and final Wolverine film, following X-Men Origins, Wolverine 2009 and The Wolverine 2013. It is directed by James Mangold, who co-wrote the screenplay with Scott Frank and Michael Green, from a story by Mangold, and also stars Patrick Stewart, Richard E. Grant, Boyd Holbrook, Stephen Merchant, and Daphne Keane. The film follows a past his prime Logan embarking on a road trip across a dystopian future version of America for one final mission.
Thank you. That was long-winded of you. Glad I didn't have to do that. But yeah, and now that he brings that up, I love the setting of this. Like, the fact that it's in this future where there are no more mutants, and everyone knows the X-Men stories. It's amazing, and they've been in our lives for a long time. I know mine, since the early 90s. I've known about the X-Men and loved them. But this takes it to another level because we get to see two of the fan favorites shine. Now, saying that, what do you think of Professor X?
I really like how they, both characters, both Wolverine and Professor X, they showed how they were aging.
Yes.
And not necessarily aging well. Mm-hmm. And I liked how he had that brain issue and could, because of his powers, hurt so many people by accident.
By having a seizure.
By having a seizure. It's just so brilliantly done. Yeah. I just really liked how it's weird to say that if this movie was so human because it's dealing with mutants and all these superpowers, but it was just so basically human. Just like we could almost relate.
Yes.
Even though we don't have those powers, but we could relate to what was going on.
I agree. Old age, everyone deals that every day. Children, him becoming a father, you know, regardless of the fact that him wanting to be it, having to face that down. And then Professor X is, you know, I love his crazy spill. Like, he does a product placement ad for Taco Bell, you know, when he first started. But yeah, he and the fact that they subtly drop in the bad guy, which we'll get to him in a second. I can't remember his name, but the bad guy with the robotic hand, he, you know, subtly drops in. So they registered his brain as a WMD, you know, weapon of mass destruction, and like that subtleness. And we realize it's because he, which, you know, you never think about when you watch the X-Men movies or the cartoons or whatever you watch, like what happens when they get old? Like,
yeah, what if you have dementia?
Yeah. He has this insane brain, and we've seen him in the past stop entire buildings, just freeze people. Like, you know, so, and then all of a sudden now he's losing control of that. Like, and they tackle that in this movie, and it's just fantastically done. What do you think of the bad guys?
They were evil and bad, but I don't think they really stood up to the heroes in the movie. I think there was something missing from them. They weren't, except for, I guess, the clone of Wolverine.
I've been calling Berserker Wolverine.
Straight up, that's right, the Berserker Wolverine. Other than that, I mean, they didn't really stand up to the heroes in the
movie. The main antagonist that we see for the most of the movie, the cool kind of southern robotic arm guy, like, he doesn't really do anything.
No, he gets knocked out.
He gets tossed around and fails miserably at his job. He gets the albino, whose name I can't think of.
Caliban.
Thank you, Caliban. He gets him, but other than that, he just continuously fails to get X-23. And then we meet this doctor who, which I love what he's doing. It's awesome. Like, when he gives the reveal of why all mutants are gone, and they've just slowly been basically sterilizing the mutant gene out of humanity with energy drinks and makeup products and things like that. Like, I think that's so genius to slip that in. And then they've used the DNA of old mutants to make their own controllable, quote-unquote controllable, as we find out that it's not the case. But, the son?
Son of Stryker.
Yeah, Stryker. And I don't know. Like, he didn't really do anything. I mean, he made all these people, but...
No, he wasn't really all that great either.
Yeah.
There wasn't any super-powered
villains.
It was like kind of like watching a Superman movie with, like, Lex Luthor, who wasn't really super-powered, but he's like a genius or something.
Yeah, other than Clones, we didn't really get a good. Which was fine. Like, I loved, like you said, it made it more relatable and more human. And we did get Berserker Wolverine, which was BA. Cool. Yeah. Yes. Just full of, just Wolverine without the conscience.
Wolverine versus Wolverine.
It was great. Now, getting to that, when we first meet Berserker Wolverine, it's by, I don't think it should have happened, because Wolverine hates himself because he's always, everyone around him always dies. Yet he lets a demented old man convince him to go have dinner with this family, that, knowing full well that these people have been finding them everywhere they go.
Yep, that bothered me. Like, I didn't know why they did that. Like, but
you know you've been haunted. Like, don't listen to him. He's crazy.
Yeah, I knew somebody was going to die. I know who.
But the whole family gets it because they were irresponsible. And I guess that's nailing it home that, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. I know it's a different one, but...
But Professor X was kind of losing it. And he was older, and he just wanted that perfect night.
Yeah.
Which he said he did have.
So. Yeah, he finally got it. And, oh, and that scene, it tore me up inside where Wolverine realizes what happened, and he has a choice to go after the kid or go after this father figure that he's known forever. And he goes, lets her get taken, and goes up there with Professor X right after passing himself. So once he gets up there, he kneels by him. It wasn't me. He wanted him to know that that was not him that killed him. You know, like, that was just amazing. I love that scene. But yeah, a lot of great scenes in this movie. Any standout scenes for you?
Oh, the one you mentioned was pretty insane. The one where she starts talking was awesome for me.
And the car when she punches him in the face.
Yep, that was insane. Yep, absolutely.
Don't hit me! Don't.
that was amazing. The scene where Caliban basically suicide bombs his prison was amazing. The ending, I loved it. When he was fighting himself, basically. And yeah, although, I mean, they're just countless.
Yeah, a lot of great scenes.
They made a good movie. This was the perfect send-off for Wolverine.
And then, like, they don't ever actually come out and say it. Well, I guess they kind of do. But, like, the reason why he's aging and not healing now. Adamantium.
Yeah, they do mention that and kind of explain it. I was trying to figure it out. Like, why is he sick? Because I thought maybe he put something inside of himself to kill himself because he wanted to die. But it was a metal he already had inside of him.
Now, this stuff is supposed to be pretty dang rare. Yeah, they put it on this kid and another him. So it's like, how rare is this stuff? But also, that I want to ask that. Like, with that stuff on her bones, will she grow?
I don't think... From the scene they showed where her... I don't know her history from the comic books, but from the scene they showed in the movie, it was just like parts. Like, she had a slip here and a slip there where they were putting in stuff. So it seems like she could grow around that. It wasn't like an entire exoskeleton Wolverine.
Because otherwise she wouldn't be.
Yeah, otherwise she would stay outside. Well, she doesn't, because I know she's like larger in the comic book.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I mean, I like the way they approach that. But I assume the same thing is going to happen to her eventually. Like, her healing ability is going to not be able to beat the poison from the Adamantium.
And there is a run in the comics where Magneto rips out all of Wolverine's adamantium. So that would be awesome if, like, you know, I guess he's dead in this as well. They don't say why, but also, I guess they're, it's probably going to be on a DVD or Blu-ray, but they cut out, supposedly there's a huge chunk of a tragic past scene for Professor X that they removed. And I've been avoiding spoilers. There's a big story on it, I think, on Comic Book Resources. But I just didn't look at it because I didn't want anything spoiled for me for this movie. Another thing, like the Berserker Wolverine, like, he was literally pieces, like, it seemed like floating in test tubes. Like, I don't know how they, like...
Yeah, I'm not sure what was going on there, if that was him or if they were showing something, like, just showing what they could do to build somebody, but it was hard to decipher that.
So you think, like, I don't like how the I'm jumping all over the place here, but there's so much in this movie. I don't like how the kids, other than her, were all just like terrified for their lives and didn't fight back at all. Like, I know she has a healing power.
Well, it made sense. But if she was a clone of him, that she would have some of his aggression and whatnot, which was why she was fearless.
But they all were being trained to be weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but they did, oh, never mind. The lady in her very well-edited hotel video on her phone, she said that they didn't want to fight. That's why they...
Which confused me, because somebody else was holding that phone, because there's a scene where she's talking to the guy, and the phone's on the other side of the door. And I'm like, what? Is she a mutant?
It's like somehow they pieced together, in the time it was in the hotel, she pieced together security footage from this place they were at her recording.
Mm-hmm. It was weird, yeah.
Well, it needed to be to set up what was going on. But yeah. So that's Logan, ladies and gentlemen. Unless you have more. I mean, there's a lot more. We didn't spoil everything, but by no means. But get out there and go watch Logan. Oh, actually, I want to ask you, do you think all of the F-bombs were necessary?
Like, I didn't think there was an F-bomb that wasn't.
Okay.
All the cussing was necessary. It was vital.
So, with that said,
the characters.
Do you think that more comic book movies should go this route, what the rated R?
It depends on the comic book movie. Okay. I mean, it doesn't, not everything needs to be, you know, rated R.
Mm-hmm.
Some things do. If it calls for it, then it should be that. It should, whatever artistic approach the person wants to
take. Like, you don't need a rated R Spider-Man?
I don't think you need a rated R Spider-Man. That's not the character that I would see as a rated R, but
like if he teamed up with the Punisher, maybe.
Then it probably should be rated R. Yeah, it just depends.
Okay.
So everything doesn't have to be, I mean, the world's changing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, PG-13, that's like
you can do
little kid stuff now. That's, I mean, rated R is for like teens, basically. It's like it's the XXX you got to worry about. That's everything else is fine.
Yeah.
They're getting worse on their phones and everywhere else. So
true.
They're already prepared for it.
This is true. Yeah, I just thought that was like I didn't, like you said, I didn't think it was overdone at all, because it was like, that's how I always imagined that character anyway. Like,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't just walk around being a little censored PG dude. That's who he is. I've always seen it. So yeah, I just like when they first announced Logan's gonna be rated R, like, oh, here we go. They're copying Deadpool, you know. But that wasn't the case at all.
Not at all. This didn't feel like Deadpool at all.
No, not at all.
Not the same kind of rated R.
So yeah. There were boobies though. There was a little.
There were two of them. Hey, Driver.
So yeah, that was Logan, ladies and gentlemen. Go watch it. Would you say so, sir?
Yep, absolutely.
Alrighty, and we are moving on to Potter and Family promos.
This week on the Netflix and Swill podcast.
I think this is made by the same people who do Scary Movie, like, and the first maybe two Scary Movies were good. And now you hit like Scary Movie 5, where it's just like, hey, we're done trying.
Yeah, here's another Wayans brother.
I already thought there was four. There's a fifth one now? What the f*** is happening?
This is the Wayans brother you didn't know about. This is Tito. Tito Wayans.
So check out our show on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Twitter, Netflix and Swill.
This week on All Around Music, special guest Michael Bolden joins us this week, and SoundCloud offers cheaper alternative for streaming music.
I've been to shows, like, I don't know if you guys have had the Headwalkers, where you go to a show and people run off the stage and just, they don't dive, they just run across people's heads as far as they can. Oh, dude, can you imagine all the shit happened to those people?
Yeah, that's why I stand to the sides now.
Yeah, dude.
I don't stand in the middle anymore.
That's why you grab their leg and just...
Yeah, I'm not 17. When no. At metal shows, I stand off to the side.
God, I hated that shit.
F*** that.
It hurts. You're like, did I just get kicked in the head?
Why?
Why are you doing this to
Why?
Me?
I just want to be friends, man. I like your shirt.
You can find us on Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Please subscribe.
And we're back. Now we're going to get to my favorite segment because I get to hear all about the new stuff coming out. Trailers. Want to go first, sir?
Sure.
All right.
Mine's, and that doesn't really fit with the movies we watched, but I found the trailer really interesting, and it's called Table 19. I don't know if you've seen this trailer.
I haven't seen this one.
It's got Anna Kendrick in it. I'm sure you know her from the... it's basically about a bunch of misfits at a wedding table. You know how when you go to a wedding, like a place where they think they should be?
Yeah.
They're placed way in the back. Like they're the rejects at the wedding. And it's all about them realizing this, realizing that where they're at like sucks. And then kind of rising above the status that the people who are putting on the wedding gave them.
It's like a New Age Breakfast Club.
Yeah, it looks interesting. It's got some funny moments in it. I mean, I don't know. I was drawn to it. I think it looks really interesting. So, awesome. Table 19.
I will definitely check that out. I wanted to go ahead and do Headshot. Don't know if you saw this one.
I have not. It's
by the makers of Raid, The Raid and Raid 2.
Mm-hmm.
The main character from there, I cannot pronounce his name, but he is the main in this. He gets shot in the head and loses his memory. He survives and loses his memory. And the doctor that he that helps him, they develop a relationship. Someone comes to finish the job. They find out he's alive, come to finish the job. And they crack him over his head, and it reactivates all of his memories. And he realizes that, from the looks of it, his father is the person who tried to have him killed, and it's this huge kingpin, drug lord type dude, and he's going to get revenge, and the butt-kicking ensues. So yeah, that's Headshot. I also wanted to cheat today and do a... runner-up trailer.
Okay.
Because, and this will be my third time doing this trailer, but they released a new one last week. And this one gave me so much more. Pirates in the Caribbean, right. Dead Man Tell No Tales. Have you seen the new trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Like, more Jack, more everything. And it was a young Jack, which is something I always wanted to see. I would read books about young Jack, like his life before he's Captain Jack Sparrow.
That's what was missing from the other trailers. They didn't put enough Jack in there.
Exactly. And now we have that, and we see that he's screwed over Javier Bardem's cap. That's why he's after him so bad. And this guy's a murderous... Oh, man, I cannot wait for this. I'm ready for Pirates. But yeah, that's trailers this week, guys. Sorry, I kind of hogged another portion there.
No problem.
So we're going to get into interracial couples versus fear. Get Out and Watch Spot, if you wouldn't mind.
Get Out is a 2017 American comedy horror film written, produced, and directed by Jordan Peele in his directorial debut, and also produced by Jason Blum, Edward H. Hamm Jr., and Sean McKittrick. The film stars Daniel Kaluuya, Allison Williams, Bradley Whitford, Caleb Landry Jones, Stephen Root, Lake Stanfield, and Catherine Keener, and follows a young interracial couple who visit the mysterious estate of the woman's parents.
Thank you, WatchBot. So, this one hits a little close to home.
Right.
I am an African-American fellow. You, sir, an African American fellow. I've been in an interracial relationship, and this is every black man's worst nightmare. brought to life on the screen. Of course, this isn't what happened. The people were my ex's parents were very nice to me, always were. But yeah, this is the nightmare brought to life of you go to meet your girlfriend's parents and you want to get out. But yes, so Get Out. Peele, funny guy. This guy's hilarious.
He is.
I've seen a lot of his skits. Very funny dude. But this was not so much funny.
Nope. I mentioned to you before, like, comedy comes from a dark place, so it makes sense that he was able to tap into this darkness.
Yeah. I don't know where to start with this. I thought it was hilarious. We got up, the lights came on, I looked down, and there's an interracial couple sitting in front of me. Like, oh, what must they be thinking right now? So this movie it's a social experiment. Like, it is, and I think that's why it's doing so well. Like, well, it, not only that, it's a great movie. Not going to take anything from it. Great film. But, like, it touches on some real things and also adds that horror element to it. What do you think, sir?
I thought it was great. I think it did everything that it was supposed to do. It made people uncomfortable.
Yes.
I know it made me uncomfortable when I was watching the trailers and other movies. Mm-hmm. And that one would pop up. And it went there.
Yes.
And not everybody and everything is going there. And he's done that before, though, when his TV shows.
Yeah, their sketches would.
He's gone there before, so it's nothing new. But yeah, it was pretty exciting to see a movie go someplace that makes people uncomfortable, and it opens up a door for that conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah, does that conversation?
It does need to be had because it's still an issue.
A stigma, yeah.
If it's still an issue, then it's still a conversation that needs to be had.
That's true.
Yeah. This may heal America. This could do it.
Is this gonna make America better?
No. No. I said heal America.
So, when you put it that way, you're right. Like, this should be talked about. There is very much still racism in America. Whether we want to admit it or not. And this movie just shows it to its fullest. And
yeah, but you know what? What's weird, they weren't really racist. Think about it. They just wanted their bodies because
that is true. That is true.
They weren't necessarily racist. It's not why they were doing what they were doing.
They did point out, like, some stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
All that athletic power and, you know, like, there was, you know.
Well, just think about it. If you're an old, and this is, like I said, this is an open conversation, so I hope people aren't offended mm-hmm. by what we say. But if you're an old white dude mm-hmm. or an old white woman mm-hmm. and you were looking at, you know, not necessarily your peers, but the populace that's out there, you're thinking, I want to have a body that's, you know, better than what I had when I was that age.
Yep.
Not to say that every black person out there has got a superior body to every white person out there, but there's some, you know,
the perpetual stereotype.
There's some physically fit people.
Yes.
And they wanted to be that physically fit person. So that makes sense that they would want to be trans. I guess we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I hate to ruin it, but yeah, they wanted to be in a body that was, which I didn't think what was going to happen at the end of the movie. I didn't think that was what they were doing. I thought they were just hypnotizing folks. I didn't think it was.
Did not see that coming at all.
Which was also refreshing.
Yes. So we got a little ahead of ourselves. See, so they get to these. It's guess who's coming to dinner times 10. They go to these his girlfriend's house, and he asks a question. You know, do they know that I'm black? Which is a legit question. Like,
It is legit, but unfortunately, when we find out what happens at the end of the movie, was completely unnecessary.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Because that can, like, put myself in that shoes. Like, you show up, and it will catch the older generation off guard. I think most of the newer generation is used to that sort of thing, has seen it happen. Yeah. So then she says no, or yes. She says yes, right? But it doesn't seem like she did. No, she said no.
She said they didn't know.
Yeah, they didn't know. Yeah. And it is that awkward moment. Like, the dad starts trying to be quote unquote hip and drop slang at the son. And, you know, now I'm going to take my hat off to what I think the stars of this movie, mm-hmm. The help, I guess, call him, mm-hmm. The gardener, the groundskeeper, and the housemaid.
Super strong supporting characters for not having very many lines.
Yeah. Like, they did their job. She was terrified. Like, she was
Grandma,
like,
and Grandpa.
Yeah, oh, gosh. She's running around, dashing around the house, and these looks. And then my favorite parts of this movie is when, well, what we find out is they get a hit of their own memory back. But, like, yeah, he says to her, what, I get comfortable when there's a lot of white people around, or too many white people around. And she just, like, she struggles. Like all of a sudden it's like something's talking to her in the back of her head, and you think maybe it's because she's hypnotized and she's breaking this hypnosis. And, like, a tear rolls down her face, and she just, no, 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 no. Yeah, it's pretty dang awesome. But we're getting ahead of ourselves more. But so the mom is a psychotherapist, and she hypnotizes him from the start, pretty much.
Yep.
From the first dinner, she does a little tap on her glass.
Yep, I heard a little tap.
Yeah, and then he goes. He's a smoker, so they give the ruse is to help him quit smoking, and he goes out for a smoke one night. Which is terrifying as well, because that groundskeeper, who's a bigger dude, just charging. It's in the trailer, I believe. Just charge right at him. And it's just, yeah. But and then they like show hints of what's to come, because the maid, she's constantly looking in the mirror, like fixing her hair and admiring herself, and it has to be because she's, you know, in that new body and still loving it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then the mom takes him into a room and hypnotizes him, and he thinks it's a dream. And the friend, what do you think of the friend? The TSA friend?
He was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did like the friend.
He's the guy who is the guy in the theater shouting at the screen, pointing out every obvious thing. Don't you do that!
Unfortunately for us, we had those people in the theater.
Yes, we did. Why would you go and do that? Anyway, but yeah, it is just enough crazy with the right amount of thought, like good thought and good plot line in the movie, because it was surprising at moments and well acted. The scene when he takes the picture, like, I love that. Like, and I've seen that in the trailer a thousand times, but it was still great to see, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's dissect the family. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad.
Mom and dad. You already hit on the dad.
Mm-hmm.
That he was kind of trying to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really care for the dad. The mom, I thought, was more so the leader.
Yeah.
She kind of was like kind of standing back, letting the other people take the forefront while she was just slowly kind of manipulating and controlling them. She was the mastermind. I liked her character as a villain.
Mm.
And the boy,
yeah.
The son had a really good scene when they were having dinner.
Yeah.
And the way he was described, like, he was talking to the guy trying to, I don't know what he was trying to do. He was trying to razz him up or what. But he had his personality, I felt, was so well acted that you wanted to hate him.
Yes.
You could tell he was being a jerk.
Yeah.
It was just perfectly done. Like, the girlfriend, I thought he was just atypical. Mm-hmm. Girlfriend until the end. And I was,
yeah, like her character, which I love the way she flips that switch. Like, she's just that normal girlfriend who I don't know what's going on. You know, yeah. And then that switch comes on, and she just is just this crazy. It's just as crazy as the rest of them. Mm-hmm. So this party happens, and that's when it should have clicked, like, what's actually happening here. But you still think that they're just... Because a guy goes missing in the beginning of the movie, and he shows up at this party, and he just seems like he's hypnotized, like everyone else is, you know. It's... You see him at one point just kind of flaunting his stuff to a bunch of people, and you know, I guess now it's obvious, but it's not when you're watching.
What's going on?
So it turns out that they are brain swapping. She hypnotizes you, regresses you into the sunken place.
Yep.
The sunken place, and that is what you is left of you, and their brain is put into you, and it's pretty interesting. It works.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, it seems far-fetched, but it works. And then we find out that grandma and grandpa of the psychotic family are the help. They are in their new bodies, and it explains so much. Mm-hmm. The way that the groundskeeper talked to him. She's quite a looker. I thought this was overall an A+, and I would say, apparently I don't need to tell people to watch it because it's sitting at the top still. Like, it's doing extremely well, but go watch this movie. It's pretty awesome. Anything else to say about this one?
No, it was great. I mean, surprisingly, we had two really good movies this week. So, yeah, both of them are worth going to see.
Yeah, and that's why we squeeze them both into this. I thought, you know, they would both be very interesting, and they both were. Just back-to-back goodness this week. So much so that I didn't even check and see what else came out today, but they would have been foolish to release something with Logan. But, yeah, that's Get Out. And, of course, there's probably a lot more to say about this. But that will bring us to suggestions. And I'll go first here. Mine is... Normally I like to suggest something a little smaller that nobody had probably ever seen.
Right.
But I'm going with Tomorrowland.
Hmm.
Now, this one didn't do very well. This is one of those Disney, on the same vein as Pirates of the Caribbean. It's a ride at Disney. They turned it into a movie. Have you seen this one?
Yes.
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
I don't think a lot of people saw it, but it's George Clooney. And the girl in it actually has a new movie coming out with a guy, a relationship with him on Mars. And he's, mm-hmm. Yeah. Tomorrowland, I think that is one that kind of slipped under the radar.
Yeah, it did. I really enjoyed that one. That was a good movie.
Me too. You, sir?
Mine, I don't have a fascination with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Uh-oh.
However, I have been enjoying some of his latest movies.
Uh-huh. He's turning on.
You know Nightcrawler.
Yep. I thank you for that.
I love me some Nightcrawler. I'm not talking about the X-Men. That movie just was wow. And he did it again. There was one. He did Enemies. I don't know if you guys have seen Enemies.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. But this one, that's not my suggestion. Nocturnal Animals.
This is a new one, right?
This is a new one.
Well, a couple months.
It just came out on disc, so... Yep. If you have not seen that one,
I haven't.
And you are a movie watcher that enjoys movies, you need to check this one out. This is a smartly, this is an intelligently done movie.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think. It presents as many questions as it does answers. It was just masterfully done. I can't say enough about it. I watched it and I just sat there afterwards thinking about it, like, wow.
Oh.
So they did a really good job of mixing and matching. I don't want to get too deep into it, but if you're a movie watcher that likes watching like movies that really press the envelope, Nocturnal Animals is the one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to watch that. Because the trailer didn't really do it for me. Like,
which was great. Which that's part of what was so great about it. They didn't give it away.
Yeah.
If they gave it away, it wouldn't be as good. So you go into it fresh.
Awesome.
And you watch it, and you're just like, what am I watching?
Awesome.
This is what I'm watching. I will give you a little hint.
Okay.
You'll probably get it any way you watch it because you're an intelligent person. But when he talks about writers and that all they really write about is themselves anyway, take note of that.
Okay. Okay. I'll probably go home and watch this one. Sweet deal. Nocturnal Animals. But that one, I don't know. Did it do well?
I don't know. It should have.
Sure.
I think it did get good reviews.
Okay.
But I don't know if it made the money at the box office that it went to. It's probably not the movie that people are running out to see.
Yeah.
Most people don't want to think
exactly.
When they watch a movie. They just want to
turn on their brains.
Yeah.
And speaking, you brought up trailers revealing too much. That was a question I posed on the forums. I think the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, the newest one that came out, my God, did it show a lot. Like 2 minutes and something, you know, long. And then the alien one did the same thing. It showed so much.
That trailer was awesome.
It was. I love it. I just, like, I want something left to, like, I don't want to see every action scene in the trailer. Like, you know.
They are doing too much.
But yeah.
You got to sell the thing.
I can't wait until Covenant. That's good, yeah. Anyway, but that brings me to the forums. So, the Go Watch a Movie forums failed miserably. You live and you learn. I guess Facebook and Twitter are enough of talking for everyone. So, thanks for the one guy who did post something on there. I think his name was Movie Man, Mr. Movie or something like that. But thank you, sir. Those will probably be coming off the site here shortly. But with that said, that'll bring us to the big bad guy movie challenge thing. And what a doozy we have. It's Bill the Butcher and John Doe. Oh, boy. Now, originally, Bill was mine and John Doe was Robert's. They both advanced in their slots. With that said, I just don't think Bill is a better villain than John Doe.
Really?
I as much as I love Bill the Butcher, he makes Gangs in New York for me. And he's a savage son of a gun. But John Doe, they do not catch until he turns himself in. Like, and I don't think they would have.
No. Which is part of his plan to begin with, so.
Yeah. And Bill has honor, which I think kind of rules him out of this fight. Like, he's not going to sneak up on you and shiv you. He'll get tested in your face, beat your butt, then shiv you in the back while you're laying on the ground, you know?
That is a good point.
And I hate arguing against someone who I love so much, because Bill is great. Like, if you haven't seen Gangs in New York, watch Gangs in New York. Daniel Day-Lewis plays Bill the Butcher, and he's freaking amazing.
Vicious,
yeah. And has some the best lines you'll ever hear in a movie. But John Doe, like, what's in the box? he just flawlessly pulls off his plan. And detectives!
I love that scene when he comes in, and they don't want to. They're not paying attention to him.
Yeah,
like detective.
Yeah,
detectives.
Detectives. Once again, Kevin Spacey. Like, he should get Villain of the Year award. Movie Villain of the Year award, because good lord, that dude has done some great ones. But yeah, I don't know.
Put out much of a fight.
I know.
It was like I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to say a word. I didn't sit here. I agree with you. Yeah, I think John Doe's insane. But not just insane, but an insanely good villain. I just don't think... I don't know. It's like, I don't think... Everything... I mean, it's weird to think that his plan was to get caught.
Yes.
That was his plan.
Yep.
So, and he, which seems like kind of stupid. Like, your plan is to get caught, but there's a reason for him getting caught.
Yeah, he wanted to, he had a point to prove.
Which was bigger than him being caught. So, mm-hmm. it's so mind blowing that that movie, other than the fact that Brad Pitt is in it, is just amazing.
Do you like Pitt in this, Simon?
No.
No? Okay.
I do not.
Oh,
what's the box? I'm sorry.
What's the box? I'm
sorry. I just, I don't.
No, but, yeah, I can't really argue against John Doe. Like, not only is Seven a great movie, but he's a great villain. And Bill, like I said, Bill's a great villain, but I think this is where he has to step down.
We'll miss you, Bill.
And he'll kill us in our sleeps for that. God dang it. yeah, but I'll update that. I know I'm a week behind on updating that chart. But if you want to see that chart, go to gowatchamovie.com, where you can find not only a bracket for the tournament that we just did, which was a short one. I apologize, sir. But you can also find Robert's Review Corner, where he reviews the latest movie. Well, any movie, I'll say.
Pretty much say any.
1927, I think, was one you did.
Yeah.
But yeah, he'll review any movie that catches his fancy, and they are amazing reviews. I'm hoping that someone steals him away, because I don't want to hold him down. But there is that. You can hear the podcast on GoWatchMovie.com. And I post the trailers we talk about on GoWatchMovie.com. There were forums, but apparently you guys don't want to talk to us that way. So those will be going away. You can find the podcast on Podomatic, Stitcher, anywhere you can find a podcast. And, of course, iTunes. Go to iTunes, leave a review, and just hit the subscribe button. We appreciate that. Twitter, Facebook, GoWatchMovie. And yeah, we love that. So I want to propose something here to musical listeners. We all know music has a lot to do with movies. Sometimes it helps shape a movie. I want to reach out to some of the indie musicians out there, indie artists, indie bands, and say, send in a track. And try and make it a clean one. If not, I can get in there and edit it with some beeps. But when we'll play it at the end of the podcast in a music tribute section, because, like I said, music has a lot to do with movies, in my opinion. There are sometimes you can, it'll set a scene. Like the music in Get Out today, I thought was fantastic. You know, it had this eerie music in the beginning, then it switched to hip hop, then it switched to like those fantastic horror violins, you know, the tense moments. So you throw the right track on a film to set the mood and set the tone, and it has just as much to do with what's being shot. Scores are amazing. So I want to kind of pay tribute to that and help out an artist. We have a decent amount of downloads. They might hear your music on here and, you know, go to your next concert or whatever. But yeah, I would love if you guys would just send in a track, and we'll attach that to the end of the episode. And that is what we'll go out on, and I'll play the whole thing at the end of that. So yeah, any artists out there that want to do that, gowatchmovie.com. Actually, gowatchmovie@yahoo.com is the email. You can get a hold of me on Twitter, GoWatchMovie, or Facebook. And just send me a link or send me a download, and yeah, that'll happen. You're on board with that, sir?
I'm with that.
Awesome. And with that said, that is Go Watch a Movie episode 23. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
Go watch a movie.